You're listening to Talk Soap. The first rule of Talk Soap is that we do talk soap. So lather up as the hosts catch you up in the week of Daytime Dish. Now, here are your hosts.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Talk Soap. It is Happy Hump Day, so I'm sure we're all going to hump each other before the episode. So this is April 29th, coming to you live on 7 p.m. over here on the East Coast, and whatever time it is, wherever you are listening, and up in Canada at some time as well, because we have a faithful, loving listener up there in Canada, so I don't know what time it is up there for you. So kudos and hello to you, Mariette. All right, so let's just get the Emmys out of the way. But first, let me bring on my co-host. I feel like talking like Wendy Williams. My co-host is my studio audience. But anyway, David, welcome back to the show, my love.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm the one that Kelly doesn't remember. So
you calm down. I'll just
sit in the background.
I swear. Mm-hmm. I love everything about you, David.
Mm-hmm.
Can I just say for the viewers at home, in this group thread, Kelly said David who, and didn't think and thought he wasn't going to see it, but he did.
it was
the best.
I'm not going to lie. I forgot David was in the Talk Soap group, so I was just like, he won't see it, because last time I looked, it was just the four, like, me and you, Michael, and Doug, uh-huh. And Claudia, and Courtney. And I forgot that David had been added. I'm a failure. I suck at life. I'm sorry.
I'm glad that you recognize, and that's the first thing when you have a problem is to accept responsibility, so that's good.
Are you saying I suck at life?
Doug's
being harsh tonight. That was
hard. Okay. So, as you promised, you're going to make less noise this week. So welcome, Kelly, to the show.
Yeah. Less noise with my surroundings. Maybe not less noise with my voice now that I feel like I've been challenged.
I know, girl.
And the guy that always causes us to rearrange our schedule, Michael, welcome to the show.
I don't know what you're talking about. How's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Well, at least you got to have a good time and meet this author that I know have no idea who she is, but at least you had a good time. You got a picture taken with her. So.
Yes, fantastic. And she recognized me. I just feel famous.
She recognized you? That's a little along the lines of like NBC show Stalker. Ooh, okay.
CBS.
I'd be like, so you're the one that tweets at me all the CBS. Time? Okay. All right.
You turned a beautiful thing into a creepy moment. That is not what happened at all. So that's all.
Okay. So let's just go through the winners. Everybody should know already, but let's just go through the winners of the major categories this year. We talked last week about who, or a couple weeks ago when we did the recap. This is just going to go over who our thoughts are on who winning regarding soap opera shows. So the outstanding drama series was a tie to Days of Our Lives and Young and the Restless. Outstanding lead actress in a drama series was Maura West as Ava Jerome from General Hospital. Outstanding lead actor in a drama series was Anthony Geary as Luke Spencer on General Hospital. And then you scroll through all the game shows. Outstanding drama series directing, Bold and the Beautiful. Outstanding drama series writing team, The Bold and the Beautiful. Outstanding supporting actress in a drama series, Amelia Heinle as Victoria Newman on Young and the Restless. Outstanding supporting actor in a drama series, Chad Dwell as Michael Corianthos on General Hospital. Outstanding younger actress in a drama series, Hunter King as Summer Newman, The Young and the Restless.
Sorry.
I had to clear my throat. Sorry. I didn't mean anything by that. Outstanding younger actor in a drama series, Freddie Smith as Sonny Kyriakos. And I think that's all. Okay, so let's start with the GH fan in here, since there was a lot of GH winners. Mr. Michael, what was your thoughts about the winners?
Well, so I told you before the show started that I don't get the network where the broadcast was. So I didn't get to watch it live. So I followed on Twitter, and Kelly messaged me a lot about what happened and who won. So, that's the only soap that I watch, at the moment. So when you watch one soap, you want it to win everything. It doesn't mean that it deserves everything, but you want it to win everything. So I do have to say I was quite pleased with them winning lead actor and actress as well as supporting actor. So that made me happy. I was going to say what was interesting to me was, you know, sometimes there's like, you know, like in an Oscar ceremony, there's one movie that kind of sweeps everything or, you know, like it's really recognized and it stands out. And it was kind of interesting, like this time around, Bold and Beautiful, you know, won for directing and writing, you know, and then Best Soap in general was Days and Young Restless, and the lead actor and actress were GH. It was kind of, everything was kind of split. So it was nice because the winnings went around. But it was also kind of interesting because how can you be the best soap but you don't have the best writing? Or how could you have the best writing but you didn't have the best actor? So some of it didn't make sense, but some of it did. So mm-hmm. I was happy. I was happy.
All right. And Kelly?
I didn't mind any of the winners except when when Hunter King won that for Best Younger Actress. I was like, I was in the bed and I was watching it and I started yelling and I was like, no, you're kidding me. And then I was bored for about an hour. I was just so mad.
Yeah. And were you more mad that she won or that someone else lost?
I was more upset that our friend, old Kiki lost. But really, I would have preferred, like, we take my sweet little puppy up there and he be named Best Younger Actress, which is, you know, kind of impossible. But I would prefer my dog over Hunter King. But we all know my disdain for Hunter King at this point.
Yeah. So. You know, she won last year, and just as Amelia Hindley won last year. So, you know, I think, you know, give it, you know, move it around a little bit. Now, I don't know about the actress Camellia who plays Gabby, but, you know, Haley did a good job on General Hospital. That would have been great if Haley won. Then it would have almost been every character won the major awards. That would have showed somebody something. So, David, what was your thoughts on the winners?
I think that somebody lining pocket. Amelia won the first time, and I was like, oh, okay, Jill Farren-Phelps is definitely paying someone. And this is not a discredit to you, Amelia. I think you're a great actress, although, and I'm going to be honest with you, girl, I don't think you're an Emmy-winning actress, so for you to win two, I was like, good God almighty. Hunter, I believe she's a good actress. I don't believe she's an Emmy-winning actress last year. The year before, I can see because Summer had a lot to do that year. But last year, no. Yeah. I thought I was being April Fool's when Chad won, not because he's not a great actor, but because he beat out Neil. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Christoph St. John, not only did he grow an afro and a beard, but he acted his ass off.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Okay. So Anthony Geary won, shocker. Maura West won, shocker. I am feeling bittersweet about Freddie winning because who is going to take care of that when he's in jail? Like, he's going to have to pawn it for cigarettes or contraband. Like, there's no way he can keep that Emmy because he's going to prison. So it's like, I don't know. I just think it would be cool if he somehow, like, remember how Sammy, like, decades ago, she was about to get lethal injection and then she got off for some reason. It'd be so cool if he got off and then Chandler Massey got off and then the two could come back and they'd be an Emmy-winning couple on the show. That would be amazing.
I wouldn't mind if both of them got off.
Oh, girl. I thought you were the angel of the group. Here you go.
You said Freddie and Chandler, and I was there.
Wow.
Sorry. By Doug. Okay.
I think so.
Get yours. Okay. Hanging out with Kyle a little too much, too. But yeah, and as far as a statement that Michael said. I completely disagree with you, girl. I watch Young and the Restless every single day, and I do not want them to win an Emmy.
Oh, really?
The show sucks. And I don't want them to say, oh, see, we're doing a great job. I'm praying to the gods, to Bill Bell, to whoever's up there, that they don't win next year. Because this is the second time in a row that the show has sucked and won a tie.
Yeah.
They won with Guiding Light a couple years ago, right before Guiding Light got canceled. And the show sucked then, too. Not as badly, but, I mean, Maria Irina Bell was heading it, so you knew what I'm talking about. But I don't get how Bold and Beautiful can win writing, directing, but not series. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm still pissed that poor Allison Sweeney dumped that cup of water in her face by accident, and she did not get an Emmy for that, because nobody in soap dome has ever splashed water in their own damn face by accident and kept going in a scene.
She's a professional. Lord.
I'm pissed.
Now, I will say I was very, not emotional, like crying, but I was just excited that they were back on television, and they did such a great job, I believe. It looked beautiful. Tyra was fun, much better than last year's Kathy Griffin. They mixed in game shows like with it. I mean, it was really a lot of fun, but it was really kind of emotional to see that somebody out there was able to bring our show back onto the television. So it was good. I was actually, for the first time, cringing at the thought of anybody from Young and the Restless winning. And that's hard for me to say, but you know, I wanted it to show, hey, you guys need to step up, you know, and change things. I would have I shouldn't say about the actors, you know, Amelia, there's better out there. I'm sorry. And Hunter, there's better out there. But as far as I would have liked to see Bold and Beautiful tie with Days of Our Lives, because it got writing and directing. Now, usually just like in the Oscars, you know, the director usually gets the best picture, et cetera. Normally, sometimes it doesn't work that way. But I think it would have been nice to see GH, Days, and General Haas, Bold and Beautiful kind of sweep and show, whoa. But of course, at the end, Jill Farren Phelps came up there with her, with herself, and I just couldn't. But anyway, it was really good. I think they did an excellent job with the Joan Rivers tribute with Melissa Rivers. The Betty White Lifetime Achievement was really, really, really good. I think it was well-rounded, really, really good. I don't remember like the last few years. Well, last year was a disaster, but the years before. So for me, it was like one of the best I've seen that I remember for a while. So kudos. And let's see that more people get pop, or they move it to a network next year.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's move on. Let's just do some breaking news. Jeannie Francis is returning to General Hospital as Laura. How excited are you, Michael?
I am excited. She was obviously on the show before I started watching, but when I started watching, she and Luke and Lucky had just come back to the show. They'd been on for a couple of years, and so she's one of the first people I remember. And of course, you grow up hearing about Luke and Laura and that whole storyline and everything. So, on the one hand, I feel it's unfortunate the way they treat her. You know, like she's so good, and we love when she returns. But there never seems to really be a place for her to be on the show long term, you know, and I hate that she's kind of the character that, you know, like she comes in once a year and, you know, and says hello, but I mean, it's more than nothing, you know, and it's better than her being in that sanitarium in the catatonic state. At least she's living her life in Europe trying to, you know, do some fun things. But I wish there was a way sometimes to bring her in, but I feel that every time they bring her in for a longer period that the audience wants her with Luke. And I think that that's over, that's past. And I think the audience has all these expectations, and then they see it's not going to happen. And then I think I would like to see her around more, but I think they need to figure out what her purpose will be and what her story will be, because it's no longer with Luke. In my opinion, it's not. So I don't know what they're going to do, but I'm excited to have her back. She's always fun.
Yeah. Now I watched her when she came back like last year or the year before. I can't remember. She was back for a short time after she left Young and Restless as Genevieve. So I don't really know the whole history. I know the whole Luke and Laura and the wedding that gained 30 million viewers, et cetera, et cetera. But I remember something that David said on our show not too long ago, you know, if when we were talking about Luke and his revelation that, you know, he went through all that abuse as a child and killed his mom and dad. And then, you know, so and he and David said that he needs to acknowledge what he did to Laura by raping her back in the 70s or 80s, whatever it was. So I hope, you know, I mean, I'll let David speak for himself, but I hope that it does kind of come to, because there needs to be closure with that as well, especially for people who've watched it for 4 decades or 3 decades. They know that, and, you know, some may have forgotten, but that's a topic that, you know, not many people do forgive. So David, what are your thoughts about her coming back? And also another thing, I do agree. I've seen a lot of tweets on Twitter that they don't, just like you said, Michael, they don't give her justice when she's back. They don't give her any meat or juice. You know, I think she got more unbearable writing on Young and Restless than she did on this last time on General Hospital. But go ahead, David.
Well, there was a scene maybe last week or the week before where he said, you know, I did this to my mother, I did this to my father, and even what I did to Laura. So he did acknowledge it finally, which I was like happy about. But I'm going to be really happy to see her, because I got behind on it. So I said, I just let it go. And because it's really boring without the whole Luke story, I'll be honest with you. If they submit the Luke story that whole week, that first week of April, they'll win next year. But I'm just going to wait for Laura to come back so that I can go back. I feel like he can write for everybody, but he is such an egomaniac that he doesn't want to write for somebody like Laura, because she's so far beyond him. You know, like, what's he going to do? Write a scene with Laura fighting Tracy over Luke? That's beneath her. She doesn't need to do that. This bitch could come in, flick her hair over her shoulder, and men will fall at her. Because she's Laura Spencer. I just love her. She could be back with Scotty and maybe convince him to get a haircut. Who knows? I mean, she's got a lot of catching up to do. You know, your son is that crazy person, and you had her with Heather. Oh, my God. Like, I can't wait for her to, like, say that to him. You know, and I just feel like, to Michael's point, he can sit there and he can write a scene with Mina, and he can write a scene with Franco, and he can write a scene with Julian and that stupid bartender girl who has his baby. I don't even remember her name. Olivia, that's her name. I call her a bartender because that's all she does. And but he can't write for a legacy strong woman, you know? And I just, oh, I hate that. I hate that women are so dispensable. Like, Helena Cassidyne shouldn't be a cartoon character. She should be a strong villainess. That's what Elizabeth Taylor played her as, and she's like a cartoon. So I can't wait for her to see Lulu, explain where Lucky is throughout this whole thing. I don't want her necessarily to stay, because who's she going to rekindle with Scotty? She's done that a billion times. I want the whole rape to be confronted. And if she leaves, she leaves. If she stays, she stays, you know? But my main thing is I want her to know what happened to Luke and everything that transpired, because she needs to know that. She's the love of his life. She needs to know that.
Yeah.
That's my point.
All righty. Kelly, do you have any comment? I know you didn't watch when Laura was on before, but you know her from playing Genevieve on Young and Restless. Any thoughts?
Well, no, no, not really. I mean, like, you know, because I don't know her from there, you know, from as Laura. So, you know, I guess it will be, you know, interesting to see all that come around and you know, because like every time they talk about people from the past, like you, even though you may not know, I mean, obviously I don't know anything aside from like 6-8 months ago when I started watching it, you know, but it's you know, like the more they talk about the past, the more you learn about it. So when she comes back, I mean, like, it'll be interesting to see, you know, like a new twist, like how's Tracy going to react to her coming back? And that's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Because it's one thing to see, like, younger women, like, in a catfight-esque situation over a man. But mm-hmm. to see some old ladies, man, old ladies, they're, that'll be fun.
Well, in other breaking news, Allison Sweeney is returning to Days of Our Lives just in time for the 50th anniversary that's coming up. So all those Sammy fans will be happy to see her back, I'm sure. We don't have any Days of Our Fan Watchers on the panel. So any thoughts? Anybody care?
Is it just for like a guest spot, like a few episodes, or is she like back for real? That would make my day.
It just says she's reprising the role of Samantha Jean Sammy Brady for Days of Our Lives 50th anniversary. That's all it says. So I don't know if that means just for the celebration.
That's what I would assume.
The Instagram saying, guess what? I get to be a part of celebrating hashtag Days 50. So stay tuned. So she'll probably just be back temporarily. I don't know how she left. I mean, because I don't watch the show. But and then in other news for us young and restless, homoerotic, wanting something to happen to this character, Kevin Fisher's partner in crime, Chris McKenna, is coming back as Detective Harding. And there's been speculation that he may be the murderer in this whole case that's going on with the Scooby-Doo gang. But I don't want them to ruin him. I think he's hot. I think he's great. And I think he needs to get Kevin in a cell and show him who's boss. But anyway, what are your thoughts about Chris Anna coming back, David?
Ooh, Detective Sexy. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. I would love it, okay? I would love that. I tweeted him that he hashtag Detective Sexy and he favored it. So that's probably right up there with Michael meeting that weird stalker author. yeah, I'm like so excited.
I heard that.
I know you did, girl. I said it bad enough.
At least he didn't say it thinking that you weren't listening. That would have been awkward.
Yeah, that would have been awkward.
What?
That never happened. Really, I'm pissed about it because they're making him a sacrificial lamb, but at the same time, I know he's really, he doesn't have any ties left to the show because he's doing State of Affairs with Catherine Mess. So, I mean, Katie Mess now. So I wish it was Chavez that killed him because nobody's heard from Chavez. Nobody's seen him. He's jealous. Or maybe it was Carmine because he used to date Abby, you know, and we last saw him. He was alive. I'm just praying it's not Detective Sexy because I like him and I want to see that booty more.
Yes, definitely. And any thoughts, Kelly, on Detective Sexy's coming back?
Well, I mean, it'll be good for my eyeballs because I'll get to see his lovely self. Yeah, I do kind of agree with you guys, though. I hope it's not him. I hope that they find another way around it. I don't know. I mean, like, honestly, I mean, I've said it 100 times before. Like, when I watch these shows, my mom and I can sit down and talk about it, and we can be like, next thing you know, they're going to be doing this, that, and the other. And then in, like, 2 weeks, what we just said happened. So we're like, we could just write this show. But now, like, this storyline has me so, like, I don't know, because for a while there we were hearing that, you know, like Austin faked his death and he wasn't really dead and he killed Courtney after Courtney found out that she, but now like I haven't heard that in a long time and I don't know who actually killed anybody and it's making my head like want to explode because I don't know what's going on.
Well,
but I hope it's not him.
The worst kept secret, you know, it really is.
Yeah, and what's frustrating is they haven't even been on the show for like a couple weeks, so I've already lost interest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, like today, my interest is in why the heck is Summer, if she's been licking all over Kyle for the past 2 weeks, since her husband just died 20 minutes ago, she's been all over Kyle. But now today, because he showers her with gifts, she's like, ah, you don't even know who I am. Shut up. Take the stuff he's giving you.
I know.
I'm just like, quit. You're a spoiled brat. You got aggravated when Austin didn't want to spend money, and now you're getting aggravated because Kyle does. And she's like, just make up your freaking mind. Make it up. Make a decision. Do you want somebody to spoil you, or do you want somebody to, like, earn their living and not be some spoiled little rich kid, which obviously Kyle is. Excuse me. But anyway, I would love to see Detective Hotness come back. I'm happy about that. I hope it ends up not being him, because I'm so confused about what's going on. I just hope he comes and lays a smackdown on some people and maybe finds out who the real killer is. Now, who I'd also like for them to bring back, because I saw that they advertised a casting call that they were casting an FBI agent that solved, like, international crimes. And I'm like, if you need a freaking FBI agent, Ronan, you bring Ronan back. He was hot as balls. That man needs to be back on my television. Bring Ronan back.
Well,
don't cast a new FBI agent. Bring back the old one.
Exactly.
Beautiful.
And they just announced also. What?
She just purred. Did anybody not catch that?
I wasn't sure what that noise was, so I was just going to just keep on going.
I don't know what's happening.
There's another new casting call that went out. Well, it didn't. It's an official cast. YNR has got Sophia Pernis in a recurring role as Marissa, a mysterious beauty who will arrive in Genoa City and interact with key characters. Pernis will make her debut on June 1st. I don't know who she is. Her name is Sophia Pernis, and she's going to play Marissa. And we just talked about, like, a couple weeks ago that person from Guiding Light is coming on the show for Lindsay, or what was her name?
Lindsay McKinnon. Okay. Yeah. See, here's the thing. No matter how we personally feel about Ron Cavalier, Chevalier, I don't even know what the fuck his name is. I don't even care. No matter how we personally feel about him, he brings on a lot of characters, but every single character has something to do and ties into the story.
Mm-hmm.
When you are young and the restless, and you don't know how to write, and you're messy, when you bring in a lot of characters, it just looks like a bowl of shit, okay? Yeah. And so he's bringing in these characters, FBI agent. Get back to what YNR is about. YNR was about glamour and hot people doing crazy shit. That's what it was about. And so bringing in an FBI agent and Dylan, who was a war veteran. And no, get back to Jabot. Get back to Brash and Sassy. What they should have done was they should have had Jabot come out with Hex and Victoria come out with Brash and Sassy. Revitalize Brash and Sassy. Rebrand it. And then have a model in the middle, say, Summer. And they could have fought over who's the spokesperson for that, for either campaign. And Summer would have been stuck in the middle, giving her more to do than sleep with her stepbrother after her other husband died. I mean, it's just, do I have to teach them how to write? I mean, hello?
You do. One last thing.
Starting to perspire.
I am too. I always do when I do these shows. I sweat to death. One last casting, which is really, really cool. The Bold and Beautiful put out a casting call looking for a transgender performer to be part of Maya's storyline. Well, Bold and Beautiful has found their actor. Scott Turner Schofield has been cast in the role of Nick, described as a sort of, quote, transgender mentor to Maya. Schofield revealed to the New York Times Daily News on his BMB role. He says, I'm Maya's best friend, and I come from her world when she first landed in Los Angeles before she became the huge success that she is. We met in the trans community together. I'm her friend that comes in and kind of helps remind her that she is beautiful and whole, authentic, exactly as she is. And as things start to happen and discrimination mounts, she can stand strong in who she is and how she's made the right choices for herself. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, it feels playing myself in a certain way. He begins to air on May 8th. So, and he's taped 6 episodes so far. No word if there's any further dates to come. But, you know, we were talking about this not too long ago, David, about, you know, and I'm glad that we have now, we're going to have somebody else join the cast who is transgendered, who's going to be able to bring that to light, those feelings that we were talking about that Maya was having. So I'm here.
Oh, you just like dropped mid-sentence. I'm like, where is this bitch at?
Oh, so, no, I'm here.
Talk about this for a minute.
Of course.
First of all, Scott is hot. Have you seen him? Oh my God, hubba hubba.
Yeah.
And secondly, I hope that Nick, is this Nick Maroney? Like, why did they name him Nick? I'm going to leave that alone. I hope Nick comes to mind and says, girl, what the hell are you doing? Why did you lie to this man? Why did you lie to these men? But more importantly, the part that scares the shit out of me is that if Maya says, oh, I'm feeling discriminated. Bitch, you lied to everybody. You're feeling discriminated because you lied. And now I hope Caroline busts the truth on her, not because I want, you know, Caroline to discriminate against her, but she, I saw a couple episodes, and she took Caroline, dragged her across the pavement, and then peed on her. Like, literally, she's evil to Caroline. So I hope Caroline busts her secret. But no, 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 my girl. You can't claim discrimination. Oh, no, honey. Uh-uh. And if you try to, I will come in the scene and beat your ass. Sorry, I just need to get it off my chest.
Well, that's okay.
Okay, I'm done.
Okay. Well, let's, Kelly, did you watch today's Young and Restless?
I did.
Okay, good. So this is what I want to talk about. We have been waiting, well, not waiting too long, because the double Jack stories just happened a couple weeks ago. But, you know, I've been waiting for when fake Jack and Adam were going to be in the same room together. And it happened on yesterday's episode, and then it bled over today's episode. And so now, you know, Victor is in now knows that there's something even more fishy about Gabriel. And I'm anxious to see what it is. Instead of going and taking him down, he went over and, you know, tried to buy him a drink and talk to him and stuff. But then on the flip side, Gabriel or Adam shows up at wherever Chelsea and Billy are, and bam, Billy hears the whole conversation. And I bet you, and this goes back to Michael as well, because he watches General Hospital. Michael, remember when, and actually Kelly, Michael, remember when Franco told Carly, I would never marry a whore or something like that when at the wedding date?
Something whore. He called her a whore right there at the wedding. It was great.
Yeah. So I'm thinking that Billy is going to pull one of those where they're going to get married, and then he's going to be like at the wedding and say, I wouldn't marry you because you fucked Gabriel the day of our other wedding. So I don't know. That's just a thought I had. They do it all the time on soap. So
that would be the only thing that would make me gain respect for that man, if he actually said, like, hey, why would I marry you if you were banging this guy? But I posted in this Facebook group today about, like, I looked at my time hop, and 1 year ago today, I wrote, where did it go? I said, this is my old lady tweet. I love the old Billy on the Young and Restless, but the new one sucks, from 1 year ago. So it's just like our 1 year anniversary of Curtis Jenkins is the worst. But I can't wait to see. But, I mean, like, it seems like they're just redoing all of General Hospital storylines anyway. So it's going to be another, holiday wedding disaster, because theirs is on Halloween. Are they going to make it, like, Earth Day or whatever day is coming up soon?
I think we passed that already.
Yeah, that was last week.
That's true. That was, like, 2 weeks. Whatever.
I think Billy should have just nailed her and said right then and there, I saw Adam was in here. Gave his ring up or something like that. Now we got to wait.
Well, he should have busted in the door the minute he heard it happening. He was standing right there. He should have busted that door open and been like, what the hell are you talking about? You're not serious. That's crazy. If I walked into a room or if I walked up to a door and I heard, about Matt even texting another girl, you best believe that door is halfway coming off its hinges. I'd be like, what the hell do you think you're doing texting somebody else? Never mind having sex with somebody else. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I'm done.
Well, I'm glad you feel better about yourself there. I'm glad you got that taken care of. Now, I did see, spoiler alert, that Adam goes and sleeps with Sage because of what happened in today's episode. So that I don't like at all. Why? Adam would never do that. Old Adam would have never done that, I don't believe. What are your thoughts?
No, I don't think so. I mean, like...
Well, if he wants to get over it, I'm free Friday night. I mean...
Well, I'm just saying, we could plan a trip for him. He could come by your house, wherever you are, David. I'm here. I'll be here Friday night. You can come by here, too. Just make him around.
And can I just mention, I just saw on Twitter, yesterday was Cassie's anniversary death. Does anybody see that on the show? Anybody?
Nope. Usually they have it every 3 months.
Interesting. So... Yeah. Mariah's on the show, and Sharon is going through whatever she's going through. She couldn't stop and remember her daughter's death. I mean, she was a huge part of the show.
Yeah, and that was such an anniversary every year. We got to see that. They celebrated it. And because we have a new head writer that doesn't care about emotions.
Oh, that's the worst.
I hope he cares.
I mean, because it's...
Ask his hand... I really do.
I'd vote for
he's
that.
Awful. He's awful. And to Kelly's point, I could care less about that fake Adam and fake Jack scene. I thought it was very weird. I thought it was a teaser. Because the minute he's fake Jack sees fake Adam, they're talking. But he's the worst detective ever. He's the worst spy ever because he didn't get any information out of him. Gabriel Bingham is not who he seems. Okay, who the fuck is he? Like, get information out of him before we go back to Victor. Like, come on. God.
Yeah, and he was just like, I didn't need to hear anything else. Like, seriously, yes you do. Yes you do need to hear something else because you need to talk to him a little bit longer and see if he's going to spill to you who he actually is. Like block
he's
out
the
rest of the conversation.
From a Peruvian prison.
How many times? If we played a drinking game for however many times we hear "I broke you out of a Peruvian prison," I mean, we don't be drunk at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It's silly.
Yeah,
it's like they're just taking stuff and like running it into the ground. Like we know that Kelly's crazy and wants to be with the real Jack. We know that, but every time she loses her freaking mind, it's just like, seriously, we know she's a loony. Like, move on to something else. I'm sick of seeing Jack tied up in that bed. I want to see Jack getting the heck out of there. I want to see
the same bed that Jill was tied up in when Colin kidnapped her.
Oh, my word.
I wonder. Oh, my God.
Now, what do you think about, we've talked about this before, what do you think about Michael telling Lauren they need a separation and pushing her towards Kane, Kelly?
Ooh, that's touchy. Because, I mean, like, I like Michael on most days, but, like, now he's all, like, but I agree with, I saw somewhere that, somebody was talking about how they're making that whole storyline about, like, how upset Lauren is all the time because Michael's weird about dealing with his cancer or whatever. But, like, the whole storyline should not be about how affected Lauren is by Michael having cancer. Like, why can't we talk about how affected Michael is by having cancer? But the whole thing is, you know, like, he's not allowed to feel anything because, you know, Lauren is just constantly like, oh, my God, you're working too hard. You're doing this. You're doing that. You're doing this. You're doing that. And it's all Lauren, 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 instead of like, so I don't, if that was a real life situation, I wouldn't blame him one bit. But yeah. I mean, like, and as far as like pushing him towards or pushing her towards pain, now that's a different issue, because as much as I don't like Lily, like, or as much as I'm not a Lily fan, I don't know how you want to put it, but I don't know. I mean, like, pushing, if he was pushing her toward like somebody who wasn't married, I would just be like, oh, hey, look, whatever, whatever. But he's much, you know, he's pushing her towards a married man, and I don't know.
Lane fans, I need you to close your ears because I'm about to say something. Thank you. I have been waiting like 8 years for Kane to be with somebody else other than Lily. You know, it's on the record that I can't stand Lily for many reasons, but I think having Lauren and Kane together could be something magical. The only reason, we just went through this last year or year before last with Carmine, but that was a different thing. That was a little bit different because it's not the same as this. You know, this time Michael's actually, he thinks he's dying, so he's pushing on to Kane. And I don't know, I just think it'd be hot. I always thought that Lauren and Kane, even before the storyline, I always thought they would have good chemistry together. And I liked their scenes so far. The other day when she broke down, when they were unpacking at Fenmore's, and, you know, she broke down and they had a hug and stuff. And then Michael, of course, walked by and saw it, and Lily saw it as well. And then, of course, we got our 1 month visit from Colin and Jill. And Colin was saying, you know, she's a pretty girl. You know, you need to be careful because, you know, Kane could have wandering eyes. But what was I going to say? I was something totally off topic. Oh, I wanted to ask about, you know, the one thing that we didn't get to talk about last week because it happened on Friday was we talked about how bad Sharon gets dumped on all the time. We talk about it every week when we're on here. But I just want to say, how awesome was it that Sharon dragged Avery right over the coals and called her a hypocrite and told her off the other day? I was so proud of her.
Yeah, I mean, it's about time, though. I mean, because, like, they've made Sharon look crazy for so long. I'm glad they gave her, A, a coherent moment, and, B, a moment that she's actually, like, having, you know, like, very excellent thought process. Because, I mean, like, I know she feels guilty about pushing Joe over the rail or whatever, but, I mean, like, she's just completely, I mean, and we all see where this is going. You know, this part is obvious. We're not stupid about that. Yeah, we all see that Avery's going to end up with Joe and you know, Dylan and Sharon are getting closer or whatever. But, you know, at least she stood her ground and, like, she told her, you know, like, look, you're wrong. Like, you're wrong. It doesn't matter how you feel guilty about that. You know, like, you're wrong for putting Dylan on the back burner. Good for her.
Yes. What'd you think about that, David?
Well, I really, really, really dislike the fact that Sharon cannot stand on her own 2 feet. Well, that's the way they write her. So she stands on her own 2 feet, but she always has a man holding her up. And I wish that Dylan wasn't in the storyline. I wish it was just Noah and Mariah holding her up, because that's a more powerful story to me. But I was so happy that she finally told Avery off. I just wish I don't think she knows that Avery pushed Joe, because she would have said that, and I wish she did. Oh, my God, I was waiting for it. And also, to get back to the Michael-Lauren thing, mm-hmm. So apparently in Chuck Pratt's world, when you have cancer, you take your wife and you try to push her onto a married man. That's generally what you do, right? I mean...
Mm-hmm. Of course.
He could have said, you know what, I'm dying of cancer. You bang that hottie Carmine. We should find him, and you should be with him because he's single. I mean, sure, he's batshit crazy, but he's single. Because I don't understand how he was pissed at Lauren for cheating on him, but he's pushing her towards having an affair with some with a married father. Like, this logic doesn't make any sense. I would have loved to have seen a story where Michael placed a personal ad without her knowledge. Recent widow, blah, blah, blah. And he interviewed people, guys, to be with his wife. That would have been more compelling than the shit that's going on right now. Michael reading the phone book would have been more compelling than the shit that's going on, let's be honest. But here's a clue. Maybe they're setting this whole thing up so that they can get rid of Lily. Okay. Just my only little saving grace in the storyline. Maybe he's doing this because he's like, people, I don't like Lily either. I'm trying to get rid of this hoe. Let me get Kane with the first available bitch, and then we can just phase Lily out.
Maybe. Does it not matter that, like, let's get Kane with a woman old enough to be his mother?
That is kind of creepy. Creepy.com.
Let's get Kane with a woman who at one time could have potentially been his aunt.
I will say, totally random. I loved the scene where Lauren said, oh, maybe Finn and Scotty should come down. I was like, oh my gosh, she remembered she had a son. Holy shit.
I know about Divers.
So excited about that.
I just wish they would bring Scotty back.
Oh my God, who could play him?
Mm.
Oh, they'd fuck it up anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Keep them away. They'll ruin it anyway.
Maybe Scotty can be with poor, uninspiring Abby. Somebody needs to be with her because her and Stitch are just nauseating. Gross.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Okay, let's move over to General Hospital.
Can we also really quickly just talk about how all of a sudden any Jabot business takes place in the lab now? Like, yeah. Why?
Yep.
Why go from the business office to the lab? Why do that? Why all of a sudden Chelsea, who's a designer who has nothing to do with cosmetics or fragrances or anything, brings her designs to the lab office? Why?
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden the security there is very, very lax. They're just letting any and everybody in that office.
Victoria, who is the new COO, her office is where?
In the lab.
Why not?
This is ridiculous.
I fucking love it.
Oh, gosh. Okay, let's get on to General Hospital real quick so we can wrap up. Today was an interesting day because Carly, she should be a PI instead of Sam, because she is on the case. She found the real Jake Barnes and cornered him and got him to confess that she's working with somebody, et cetera, et cetera. And then she figures out it's Rick Lansing, which I'm so excited. The story is finally going to go forward. I just hope it doesn't get stalled for another 6 months because I'm ready for the reveal, because Rick and Hayden were caught by TJ, I think it was, today, being in the same room together. So I'm really excited about that. And did you see Hayden when she was at the Nicholas's mansion? She was thinking that, oh God, I don't want to think. She was just ridiculous. She was thinking that she can like move into the palace like Valerie is, and you know, she's like, oh, who's Rosalie and Valerie, and you know, oh boy, Nicholas has got his hands full now for sure.
Oh, you mean the two people that looked at each other and then had sex?
Yeah,
yeah, like, that will happen.
Yeah.
Is that how people react? Three people get in the room, yell at each other, and then have sex even though they don't know each other? I mean, gays do that all the time, but I think straight did too.
Michael, do you do that too?
No comment. I'm an angel.
Michael!
Can we just talk for a minute about the fact that they have a working police system, Anna Devane, Mac, yet Carly figures everything out. isn't she supposed to be running a hotel? Like, what the hell is going on in the show? It's so blatant how he favors one character over others, mm-hmm. that he gives major storylines. Like, she should not be in the storyline. I'm sorry, she should not be. She should not be figuring things out. That should be somebody else's job. Hello, Nathan is a detective as well. Like, couldn't this be fraud that Rick is proving? Couldn't she have said, you know, investigate or do something? Or maybe she should just quit the hotel and do a PI business. I would rather that than...
Be careful, because you're stepping on Michael's toes, because Michael is obsessed with Carly. Michael, what's your thoughts on what he's saying about your woman?
I understand. I was trying to be on your side for a moment, but I'll change my mind. I feel that it's a soap opera. You know, things don't make sense all the time. Of course, you're going to have people doing other people's jobs when someone else should be doing it. And, of course, writers favor certain people over certain people sometimes of the month and of the year. And so, I don't know. I just, like, part of who Carly is once you tell her she can't do something, she will want to do it. And she always wants to be involved in everyone's business. And that's just who she is. So it makes sense that she wants to get down to the bottom of this. And it makes sense that she's not going to trust the police, because you see they have a mob in town that has not been taken care of in over 20 years. So I think she just feels she probably has this attitude of, I can do it better, I'm going to do it because I care more. So I don't mind that at all. That makes sense to me. But I do understand what you say. Like, when we do have, like, characters and jobs in the city, you're like, we could use those. Let's tap into that instead of keeping them in the background. So I understand it. But anything to get Carly on screen more, I'm for. So,
dear Douglas, you need to stop asking Michael his opinion on GH, because if Ron wrote in the script that the sky was purple, Michael would believe it. And he would be like, guys, the sky is purple. Did you know that?
I
can't help it if I'm, maybe I'm overly positive because you're overly negative, and I want our fans of this show to feel something nice for once.
I am not negative. I'm keeping it real, honey.
You might be, but it's mean.
Well,
it's Ron, who cares?
And Michael, just to let you know on what he just said, if you look at the sunset a right way, the sky is purple. But anyway, can we just take a moment to... Can we just take a moment of silence and just think about Lucas and Brad today? Lucas being nearly being the top of his ass for a split second, and all those
there was like coffee or something in the way. I saw a picture on, because I haven't watched today yet, but I saw a picture on Facebook or Twitter, and it said, I've never been angrier at coffee than ever. And I guess there was a coffee pot or something, and I'm blocking it. And I was like, ooh, I need to watch this.
You can, I paused it on my DVR, and you can see the top of his crack, and it's in the top of it. Yeah, it was hot, and then they had sex and make out sex, and then they had sex again. Love it. A lot of shirtless Lucas all day today, which was very, very nice. I had to thank Frank and Ron for that, because I need more of that. But now, see, you didn't see it today, but at the very end, after Lucas goes to the ball to go, because he's got to go practice his Magic Milo thing. I guess they're doing that again this year. That Brad thinks it's Lucas again, and when Brad opens the door, his eyes are all big and goes, oh my god, and we don't know who it is. I was going to ask you your opinion. People online are saying they think it's Britt. What are your thoughts?
Oh, I would love that. You know I love her so much, but I don't think that actress is coming back, so I don't think that this would be the time where they would recast someone, you know, when we don't care about that person, or the, you know what I mean? So that would make my day if we had her back, but I in reality, I don't see that being the case. So I have no idea. I mean,
who could show up at the door and his eyes get real big and say that? David, did you see today's episode?
I stopped watching, but I would love it if it was Britt, because I actually liked her. She was, I like the actress too. I like her on Twitter with, when she gets all catty defending her boyfriend. She's so adorbs.com. Could it be his dad, maybe? Or,
yeah, because the first conversation they had was about, you know, how they had that mob past and the Asian quarter and everything. Parents. Like, that would be great. Yeah.
Or, you know what I would love? I would love it to be, like, Brad's ex-boyfriends from the past, because you know they slept around before.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's some hot to trot sexy that we don't know about that he slept with, and he somehow found him and was like, knock, knock, hey, bitch, I want my man back, okay? You know? I want my little Asian back. My pocket gay.
So what'd you think about the return of the baby, Michael?
I don't think I can think it through this one. I didn't know the baby was back. I'm sorry. I think you should divert to Kelly.
Where have you been? Michael, I depend on you. Oh my God!
I would try. You asked me a specific question. When you asked me before, you're like, "What do you think of Carly?" I love Carly. I can defend her every day, no matter whether I've seen her or not. I can't talk about a baby. You know what I think about babies? Kill them. Kill them. Bring them back to the world.
Oh no! Yeah, I'm mean, guys. Yeah, I'm the mean one.
I said last week that I thought that, you know, and I guess I'm not the only one, that Silas took the baby and got the bone marrow and put her to sleep, not the baby to sleep, even though Michael would love that. Put Ava to sleep and then gave her the bone marrow and she's going to wake up and she's going to be all cured and everything. But anyway, because it was also ironic that the baby arrived the same day that that Silas was back in town. So it's kind of obvious. But Kelly, what are your thoughts about that?
I don't know. I feel like Michael knows more about it than he's letting, you know what I mean? Like, he's so confident, like, look, go search Morgan and Kiki's apartment. You know, I know that Avery's there, you know, and so it's like, I feel like, although I really want, the tides have turned for me with Michael. I am starting to absolutely adore him right now, even though at times he is still a major douchebag. I feel like he knows, he's got to know something. He's got to know something because he's all like, he's so adamant with Dante, like, go question Kiki and Morgan, you know, they took her, you'll find her at their apartment, blah, blah, blah. And so I'm really, I'm torn. I mean, like, it is a funny coincidence that, you know, like, all of a sudden, you know, Silas is back in town and then asking, you know, Nathan if he's still a suspect or whatever, and then the baby's back, like, surprise, there's a baby. But my first thing is, like, I haven't questioned, General Hospital writing yet.
Girl.
Being like, why would they do that? Like, why do they do that?
Have you been watching it?
Of course, I've been watching it. But today was the first day that I've been like, okay, look, there's a massive manhunt on, you know, looking for this baby, and you're just going to hang out and, you know, like, Kiki sitting on the couch with her feet up, like, you know, like, hey, I'm going to hold the baby and just sit here. You know, like, you need to call somebody and let them know, you know, who cares that you're going to look suspicious? Like, tell them, how about you tell the truth? How about you tell the truth and say, you know what, we walked into the apartment and there she was. We didn't kidnap her. Yeah, we drugged Michael, but we didn't kidnap AJ. So, I mean, like, heaven forbid everybody tell the truth instead of Sonny having to call people and make deals with Michael and blah, 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 and wah, wah, wah. How about somebody tell the freaking truth?
Mm-hmm.
But that wouldn't be soap opera if everybody told the truth all the time. That wouldn't be real life if people told the truth all the time. So who knows?
Well, my thing is, I want you to write a soap opera that's realistic. You're going to have liars, but you're going to have people that do tell the truth. and there's no balance. Everybody's a liar. Nobody tells the truth. So it's like, this is why, like I said before, this is why the industry is made fun of. And this is why other networks, or I'm sorry, other industries like Primetime and Oscars have their award shows on major networks. Even the SAG Awards has it on a major network. We're on Pop TV. Thank you. Drop the mic. Done.
Yeah. Well, and one of the sad things about all that, too, is back in the heyday when we had, you know, more soaps on, daytime paid for primetime. People still made fun of it then. And,
thank
you. Know,
you.
Twins Back from the Dead and stuff. But, I mean, primetime and sports and football wouldn't have existed without, you know, the daytime money that it brought in. And it's just... It's clearly not that way again, but I always loved back then. We always had that to fall back on. If people made fun of me for liking a show, I could say, you know what? What show do you like? Yeah, I pay for it, but I can't really say that now.
No. Yeah. I just wish one show would take itself seriously. Just one show. And that was restless for a very long time. And
It would be a little interesting because anytime, like now that they're down to four, if one show wants to try something different, it could go either way. It could be so good, you know, like let's try telling the truth and it catches on and people like it. But what if it's the opposite and the ratings go down? And I mean, I think people are just so worried about almost being innovative or trying things because they just don't know.
And there's that's only four, so then they can try whatever they want, you know. They can have two trans characters on one soap. They can try writing a show that's actually serious, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, real quick, Kelly, how much do you want to take Rick Forrester and pound his skull into a sidewalk?
Oh, my dear Lord. I mean,
I'm tired. I don't know how they won writing because this writing, I know this is new, but I've never had a problem with their writing before. I never really even cared because it's a secondary to my favorite young wrestlers. But they continue every scene with Rick saying the same thing about loyalty and trust. And my woman would never lie to me. I'm just tired of it.
Jesus,
oh my God.
Bless it all.
He's reading this.
I'm telling you, it's absolutely like, here's my thing. I mean, you all know how anti-Maya I was no more than like a month ago, but I'm really kind of like, I'm starting to soften the Maya a little bit, but I still wish that Rick would slam his head in my front door repeatedly because it absolutely kills me. Everything that he's saying. And I know there, if he only said it like once or twice, you know, you could give the writers credit for being subtle. But it's like every line. He can be talking about what they want to eat for dinner. He's like, I don't know, but you're so loyal and honest. Let's just, you make the decision because you're so loyal and honest that I would trust anything you say. Like, shut up. Are you kidding me right now? Are you kidding me right now? It's ridiculous. Like, everything. Think about how feminine and how honest and loyal Maya is. Shut up. Shut up.
Thank you. You said everything.
He's not. I was about to get on Twitter and tweet it at Carla Moseley. She is playing this part, and she is doing, I feel like she's doing such a good job with it. And I'm really starting to like it. But then, you know, like, and all of a sudden, just because, you know, because Nicole was getting all cozy with Wyatt, she's like, no, don't say anything that's going to ruin all this for everybody. So she went like hardcore telling the hardcore, no, you can't, you know, and I'm just like, make a decision. I don't care who makes the decision. Somebody make a decision. I love it. I love the storyline. They're doing a really good job with it. But make a decision. Somebody tell Rick so we can all be not surprised when he's just like, oh, that's what's going on. Okay, that's no big deal. Because we are all convinced now, I feel like, that that's what's going to happen. That after all his, maybe he's going to be that way, like, outwardly. And he's going to be like, you know, like, he's going to put on a good show. And then it's going to eventually get to him. And he's going to be like, bah, I can't do this anymore.
Talking about private eyes, so a purse falls over. Pam picks up the pills. And Charlie says, she's a transgender woman. I mean, come on.
Right?
I was like,
ridiculous.
Charlie, the lemon bar lover, says she's a trans woman. I mean, everybody else can't figure anything out, but then Charlie, I mean, come on.
This is what I mean.
Oh, I mean, but nobody else has seen the pills other than Rick, and she has Rick convinced that the only reason she's taking them is because her period's irregular.
No, Charlie knows the truth. He's been around many a trans woman.
Obviously.
He's probably a pimp, and he's got a whole line of them.
Oh, I can't deal. I cannot deal. Oh, my God.
Oh, okay. Well, let's wrap this up because it's an hour. So, Michael, anything you want to add to the group before we leave? I feel like we're at AA. Hi, my name is Michael Grasso, and I'm a
sociologist. I would like to say that the author that I met yesterday is one of my favorites. Her name is Jennifer Niven. I feel that everyone should check her out if you want to. She has written nonfiction books. She has written memoirs. She has written fiction. She has written young adults. So she does all these different genres, and she writes them all very well. She's from the small town of Indiana where I used to work, and so I've missed the past couple book signings because of work, so I was able to go yesterday. So it was very nice to meet her. You know, like when you see people on TV and you get to meet them in real life sometimes, it was just very nice to see a nice person who does good work. So if you're interested in reading or if you like to read different types of books, I would check her out. I give her 2 thumbs up. So that's my plug for the week.
Oh, well, thank you for that being self-related. Okay, David.
Sometimes you better talk about what we have coming up. So I just wanted to say that. You didn't give rules.
I know.
I'm just he was being a brat, Michael.
David, anything you want?
Yes, I do. So I don't know if Kelly listened to our special show or not.
Kelly, did you listen?
I'm the worst. I didn't. I haven't listened to it yet. I'm going to listen to it later.
Okay. So, do you want to tell her? Should I?
I think she should listen to find out herself.
No, well, I think you all are what evil. I want to say. You're evil. Just say it.
I have more in common with Maya than ever before. If you get my meaning. So let's just say I won't be David for very long. But having said that, I did speak to my HR department at my job, and she's completely 100% on board to the point where she, and I didn't know how to react to this. She got a little teary at the end of our conversation. Like, I'm just so happy for you. And I just want to put it out there that not only do I have, you know, supportive friends and family, but my workplace has been completely amazing. And they have been on board since day one. And I don't know how many people have experienced that. So I just wanted to put it out there that some workplaces are very progressive.
Well, that is very awesome to hear. That's a good follow-up to our chat the other day. If anybody doesn't know what the heck we're talking about, go to On Air with Douglas, not this show, but my On Air with Douglas show on Blog Talk Radio, and click on my last interview with David, and you'll hear all kinds of great information. So, all right. Kelly, any last words?
Well, that's super awesome for you, David. You noticed my silence. I think you're fantastic. We're friends on this podcast, and whether you're what you are now or what you're going to be in however long this takes, you're awesome to me. So we may have differing opinions on several topics, but who cares, because you're the best. And I'm the worst, because I'm like, David who? Who's David? I don't know.
Well, the good part is you won't have to remember that name for very long.
See, Kelly foreshadowed her own news.
Exactly. See, I really knew what was going on, David. I think I had
Kelly.
Told. I tried to play it off. It didn't work.
Yeah, you did. It was funny.
Oh, well, I did try.
It's okay.
I'm trying to think. Friday will be the 14-year anniversary of the day of my father's death. And I'm ending the podcast on a Debbie Downer moment because it's always my least favorite day of the year. But you all have made my week a little bit more joyful because I've gotten to talk and laugh and learn new things with you. So thank you for that.
Well, I just want to
hear you guys. Yes, I'm 100% serious.
Okay, because that's my birthday, Kelly.
I love you. my cousin's son was born on that day also, so it's
okay.
At least there's, see, now I have good things to relate with that day. So okay. There we go. We have better things to relate. It's gonna make me sad, but it will be a happy day because it's David's birthday.
So there you go. Anyway. You can celebrate not only because it's David's birthday, but also the memories you have of your father and that he's always with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
All righty. Well, you guys, thank you so much for coming and joining us for the hour. Thank you, listeners, as well. You can follow the show at TalkSoap on Twitter. You can follow David at DOQUINN76. You can follow Kelly at KELLIBETH. And you can follow Mr. Michael, MPGRASSO. You know, he's the one that has ass in his name. And we'll be back next week with another whole new episode. So goodbye, everybody. Thanks so much and have a good night. And I'll talk to you on social media. Bye, guys.
Bye. Thanks for tuning in to this week's Talk Soap. And don't forget the first and only rule of Talk Soap is that we do talk soap.